There's a famine for hearing the word of God. And many are going to run to and fro to seek the word of God and not find it. That's the ultimate. That's the extremity of that great prediction. But before the extremity comes to pass, holy men of God is going to be fired up all over this planet preaching the end time message of fear God and keep his commandments. Return to his holiness. Repent, church, and the Lord will pour out his spirit upon you and upon all that's thirsty for a mighty filling of God's Spirit. And I'm looking forward to this with anticipation, and it's something that I don't live weekly in a forward look or preparation and anticipation of. I live with it moment by moment in preparing myself and trying to prepare others for this great moment of truth when God's Spirit moves again to get the last harvest that the world will ever have to see harvested through the help of the Holy Ghost. We'll see that great harvest. I want to be in on it. I want to be on the front lines. And in conclusion, I want to tell you of a revelation God gave me about that front line. I've related this to you, but I think you've forgotten it. It's been so long. I received this revelation about 9 years ago, and the Lord showed me this great big wedge, and it was a wedge of fire in this vision. And behind that wedge was a ball of fire, and that ball of fire was pounding that wedge relentlessly, just like one of these you see out here when they're driving great piling to put down a bridge over a river, or one of these viaducts. They got these big air hammers that wham away at these huge pillars they drive for pilings out of concrete or wood. And this ball of fire was pounding relentlessly on this great big wedge of looked like steel that was red hot. And that big ball of fire was just a pounding away. And after the revelation, I looked at it a while, and the Lord said, that wedge is this ministry. I'm going to get my word back into the church at all cost, and it's going to cost. He said, that wedge is the people that I'll give you in the ministry that I'm raising you up for in the end time. And you'll be on the point of that wedge. And the Holy Ghost is that ball of fire that will pound the message of this ministry back into the churches and into the hearts of my people with a Holy Ghost power behind it. And it's going to grind you to pieces because you're going to be on the point of that wedge. But I'll give you power to endure it as long as my will is for this ministry to continue. And it's going to grind away at you folks too. You're going to be right there where the pressure and where the heat is the hottest. But I'll tell you, that's where the rewards are greatest. That's the front line. That's where God wants us. All this wanting to stay back and always got to have something. Always mully grubbing and puny. My God, ain't nobody ever want to battle in that kind of a predicament. We've got to get the Spirit to revive us. The Word of God will get us holy. Our old bodies will get all sanctified. And then these temples of God wants to fill them. And then the Lord's going to stick us on the front line and say, all right, stick your head up. Somebody's going to shoot at you. Praise God, they're going to take a pot shot at you, in fact. When the barrages begin to come down, some of us are going to get hurt. Some of us are going to lose our lives. But the message has got to go. That's the important thing in turning many back to righteousness. And the Lord said in Daniel 12:3, if you'll turn many to righteousness, you'll shine as a star forever and ever. Who cares about a little bit of lose your life? God gives you more grace than what it hurts. If the grace is bigger than the hurt, what are you worried about? Praise God. Stephen died with his face lit up like an angel. And there was old Saul of Tarsus holding his garment. And them guys throwing the stones in Acts the 7th chapter of that first martyr in the early church that was persecuted because of their holiness and the fear of God and their divine love and unity and power and faith in action. Brother, there wasn't no faith. Everybody around talking about it. You could see it in action. Everywhere you look, you could see the faith and the love and the power of that church out there manifested with unity. You couldn't divide that church from one from another. You'd kill one a dozen would jump in there and take his place. Praise God. First martyr, they looked at him die with that grace of God that only dying in Jesus can have it. And the Bible said they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. He didn't die screaming and raving and ranting. He died kneeling down and saying, Lord, with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he'd said it, he fell asleep. He didn't die a groaning and a hurting. I just doubt if he even felt them rocks. His body felt it and responded to it in death. But he died with the grace of a martyr. And let me tell you, that grace is the greatest grace you can have. And God's got plenty of it if you're willing to give your life for it. And when you're willing to give your life for him, you can partake of it before you ever need it. Hallelujah. You can just enjoy it all along the way. My life, as old Paul told them Ephesian elders, don't be in here and cry over my shoulder. Why do you cry like this? My life is not dear to me. The only thing he said I count dear is I can finish my course with joy and testify the gospel, the grace of God that he's committed to me. If I can do that, quit crying about me. Why do you want to break my heart with these tears? I don't count my life dear to myself. I've given my life to Jesus. And I tell you, when you give your life, then you don't worry about storms. You don't worry about cancers. You don't worry about earthquakes. You don't worry about persecution. You don't worry about the Antichrist. You don't worry about tribulation. Hallelujah. My life belongs to Jesus. And whatever he wants to use it for, Lord, here it is. Put it out there and say, here am I, Lord, when he speaks. Ananias, go and pray for Brother Saul. Here am I, Lord. Abraham, take your son and go kill him. Here am I, Lord. They didn't say, now, Lord, I'll do certain things for you, but if you put too much on me now, I just won't say, here am I. No, you got to say, here am I, and then let the Lord tell you. He didn't tell him what it's going to be first. He first asked him, are you willing? Isaiah, the sixth chapter, who will go for me and who will we send? Old Isaiah, an angel touched him, was lit with a big old coal of fire and purged him and sanctified him, got him all cleaned up. He says, here am I, Lord, send me. Hardest job he'd ever volunteered for in his life. Send me, Lord. Praise God. That's what we've got to do, dedicate our lives, and then don't look back. Praise God. Remember Lot's wife. That's where we'll wind up, a pillar of salt, in the valley of dry bones if we don't dedicate our lives to Jesus completely. Hallelujah. Father God, we pray that you'll catch every heart and soul in the grip of divine power and persuasion to turn them all the way to your holiness and to your fear. Lord, we've got to prepare our hearts for the coming outpouring of God's Spirit upon this end time generation. We're seeing the Holy Ghost moving now, but he's only moving to prepare hearts for the great outpouring that's coming in the midst of the rising persecution. Help us, Lord, and God, to have a revival of holiness. The first revival is going to be a revival of holiness, not a revival of shouting and casting out devils, but a revival of getting these old temples, these bodies holy. Praise God, undefiled, sanctified, and made ready for the Holy Ghost to fill us with a deluge of heaven's power and glory like the early church, that we can have divine love, divine unity, the fear of God, divine power, praise God, and holiness like the world has never seen before. I pray that you'll use us fully to your glory, for we submit ourselves to your will. In Jesus' name, and amen.